I don't want you to answer audibly, but I want you to think in your mind. What's the greatest display of God's love? What's the greatest display of God's love? I can think of just the creation itself and all the beauty. This world to be under a curse is amazingly beautiful. There are things you look at and you go, whoa. God didn't have to do that. He could have made everything rocks, sand. He could have made the sky gray. He could have said, you live on water and bread. That's it. But he didn't. I believe he did that to display his love, to display who he was, and to communicate, to show mankind. There is a God of beauty. There's a God of love. There's a God of care. I think about the fact of just being able to say we have friends and family that we can communicate with, and they're there when you need them. They're there sometimes just to have fun, just to enjoy. That is a blessing that comes from God. That is a display of His love. I can think of many things that I would say these things can show us that God is a God of love. I can surely look at the cross. And if there is anything that comes to my mind quickly and abruptly, it is the fact of the cross. And how there on that cross, Jesus hung in my place as me, guiltless himself, but dying for the guilty. He died there. Why? Because he loved us. It is a display of God's love. But what I'm talking about this morning, even the cross would be useless. And all that he did would be in vain if it was not for what I'm talking about this morning. I am convinced that the greatest display of God's love to mankind I'll talk about this morning. Look in John chapter 6. God's greatest display of love, of how he showed his love and shows his love more than in any other way. You could probably make a list yourself of how God has shown you that he loves you and be right to say so, right to write them down. But with all those things that we could list, I believe this that I'm talking about this morning would be useless and vain unless it was not for except for it be for this one thing. John 6, verse 44. Jesus speaking says, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. I believe in that verse we find God's greatest display of love. The creation, no doubt, is a display that he loves us. The cross, no doubt, is a display that he loves us. But if it were not for this thing of him drawing, if it were not for the conviction, the cross would be vain. What if he died for us, but he doesn't come to us? What if he said, yeah, the price is paid, but he never comes to you and says, you're a sinner and I died for you and I want to save you, I want to forgive you. Jesus said that you cannot go to the Father on your own. I guess he ought to know. He said, no man can come to me except there is one way to get to God, and only one way. And that is when the Holy Spirit, when the Father draws you. That convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I am convinced the greatest display of God's love, even in this day, is when he goes to a sinner who deserves hell and says, I want to give you heaven. When he goes to a sinner who, to by the way, for their most of their life has ignored God, shunned God, not interested in the things of God. And yet he goes to that person, and in love he speaks to them and convicts them and draws them to Him. I'm talking this morning about the greatest display of God's love. I believe it is the conviction of sinners. What is conviction? When Jesus talked about drawing, when He talked about the Father drawing us, what did He mean? He talked about conviction. And conviction is when God speaks. When God speaks, He draws a sinner to Himself. He has a desire to save. He has a desire to forgive. But He must touch the heart of the sinner. He must get their attention. We're living in a day of non-listeners. If you doubt that, talk a little bit and pay attention to how people don't pay attention to you. Well, we're living in a day of people who do not listen to God. It's one thing to not listen to me. You won't miss much, I promise you. It's one thing to not listen to your wife or husband. You may not miss much, but you'll know that you didn't. They'll let you know. But I want to tell you something. When we don't listen to God, we pay. There's an extreme payment when we don't listen to the Lord. What's conviction? It's when God speaks. Now, when you have someone talking to you, someone's trying to impart to you some message, what's vitally important first is, who's doing the speaking? Who is it that's talking? Now, I'll say it again. If I'm talking just in general, you probably can ignore me and won't miss much. Maybe even if a good friend is talking to you and you don't pay attention, you might not miss much. But I want to tell you one thing. When God speaks to us, when God speaks to a sinner, boy, they better listen. Hey, when the announcement comes on TV, where there's a public service announcement, and you know all of a sudden you hear that irritating noise and that irritating tone, and you know something's being said by someone who knows something, you listen. You give heed because of who it is that's talking. And I want to tell you, conviction is God speaking. Not me, not your friend, not your spouse, but the God of heaven is speaking to you. And Jesus said that you can't go to the Father except He draw you, except He speak to you. When the doctor comes back into the room and you've been hurting and you know something's wrong, when he comes back with the report, you listen because you know who he is and you know what he says is important. I want to tell you, listening to somebody is important because of who they are. And there's nobody in the universe more important than God. He does not waste words. When he speaks to you as a sinner, I promise you, you need to give heed. Oh, what is conviction? It's when God speaks. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. You don't get saved whenever you want to. You can't wake up one morning and say, okay, God, I'm ready. He must call. It's by invitation only. You go to a party, you go to a wedding, and you didn't get the invitation. You try and get in. They say, hey, where's your invitation? You can't enter without the invitation. And so it is with salvation. It's by invitation only. It is only when God speaks to you that when he draws you that you can say yes or no. What is conviction? It's when God speaks. It literally means, that word draw means to draw, to pull. It also means to refute. You're charged with a crime, and the prosecution's lawyer gets up before the judge and tells everything he knows about you. You may claim to be innocent. You may think you're innocent. But the evidence proves otherwise. And the prosecution gets up and presents their case. And every argument you have, they refute it. Every time you say, I didn't, they said you did. Every time you say, I'm innocent, they prove that you aren't. That's exactly what it's saying here. God refutes. You think you're okay? God says you're not. You think you can get to heaven by good works? God said you can't. He draws literally means he's refuting our arguments. We think we're okay, but he said we're not. We think we're going to make it. He says you won't, not without me. God speaks. When he speaks to you in conviction, he's trying to show you what you really are. It means to refute. Revelation 2:23. I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. You see, God knows you. I hope you're listening today. I sure hope the devil doesn't distract you from hearing the most important message you may ever hear in your life. Boy, the devil would love for you not hear a word that I'm saying, because he knows what may happen in your heart if you get this message. Please listen. Please give heed. The God of heaven wants to show you this morning how much he loves you. And he does it by convicting, by speaking to you, by showing you you are really a sinner, whether you like to admit it or not. Whether it makes you feel bad or not, it's still the case. It's still the truth. It literally means to convince. It means to convince you to the truth. You came in thinking you're pretty good. But when the Lord speaks to you, you'll realize I'm not. I'm convinced. You've convinced me. I was wrong. I thought I was okay, but I'm not. That's what conviction will do. I promise you, for a long time, I thought I was okay, having a good time, just having a great old time. But when the Lord started convicting me, he convinced me I wasn't okay. I needed forgiveness, and so do you, and so do everybody else. It talks about the Holy Spirit, when he comes to the world, he will reprove the world of sin. By the way, that's why us preachers fuss like we do. That's why Christians talk to you like they do. Because they want, and I want, you to be saved. And the Holy Spirit touches my heart as a preacher and Christians' heart as Christians who love you and try and tell you you need to be saved, not because we despise you or hate you, but because we love you. Listen to what the Bible says. He said, Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Why do preachers get so mean? Because the Holy Spirit wants to convict you. And the Holy Spirit wants to show, God wants to speak to you. That's what conviction is. It literally means to allure. To draw to. I'm talking about what he said when he said the Father will draw. It means, he says, come here. Come here. I want to save you. I want to forgive you. I want to wash all your sin away. I want to birth you into my family. I want to show my love to you. I want to save you right now. I want to take you home with me to be in heaven forever someday. That's what it is when God speaks. That's what it is when he convicts. What is he talking about when the Father draws? He's talking about conviction. Conviction of sinners is when God speaks. Conviction of sinners is when guilt stabs. I wish I had a knitting needle. Go jab a couple of you right now. Try and make my point. Listen to what the Bible says. When the Lord spoke to people, when somebody heard a message and God spoke, listen to what it says. Now when they heard this, God spoke. They were pricked in their heart. It was like, oh, that hurt. Oh, I know now I'm a sinner. That hurts. I'm not as good as I thought I was. That hurts. I deserve hell. That hurts. I'm truly lost. That hurts. Conviction is when God speaks, but it's also when guilt stabs. all of a sudden you realize you're guilty. You're guilty and deserving punishment, deserving judgment, deserving hell. You don't want to think that on your own. Have you ever thought that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he says when he draws sinners, when he speaks to people saying, will you let me save you? He convicts, he draws, there's guilt involved. It's one thing to commit a crime and not care. Teenage punk says, yeah, I stole the old woman's purse. Yeah, I knocked her down, broke her wrist, I don't care. I'd do it again. I got my $30 out of her purse. I did it and I don't care, I'll do it again. Well, he's admitting his crime. There's a whole lot of difference. That same teenage boy said, I don't know what in the world happened. I don't know how in the world I could be so mean. That poor little lady, I'll tell you, I'm so sorry I hurt her and all I got was $30. I wish I could have her here. I wish I could heal her. I wish I could just ask her to forgive me. There's a big difference between the first teenager and the second teenager, and the reason is guilt. One realizes, I am guilty and I'm sorry. I want to ask you a question. You ever felt guilty and sorry before a holy God? If you haven't, you're not saved. I don't care what you profess. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care. Hey, you might be in a pulpit. You may be in a teaching stand. You may sing every time. But if you've never experienced the guilt, the guilt-ridden state of a sorrow over your sin, if you've never experienced conviction, hey, you ain't saved. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. Now, he either meant it or he didn't. I'm talking about guilt stabs. When we realize who we are and what we are, it'll hurt. We see ourselves, but that's not enough. Guilt, when he convicts, I see myself as I am. All those things I've been doing, to be honest, that was just fine. I could explain it all away and say everybody else does. Nothing wrong with it. But all of a sudden, he starts convicting. And I feel guilty. And all of a sudden, those things that I thought were okay, all of a sudden I realize they're not okay. It's wrong. But I'll still be all right with that. Because I can look around and find somebody doing worse than me. I may see myself, but if that's all I see, I can deal with it. I may do bad. I may not should have. But others are doing worse than me. So I think I'm all right. But I want to tell you one thing. If I ever see me and see God, I won't be all right. If I ever see how unholy I am as opposed to how holy he is. That's what I'm saying. He draws. He convicts. And all of a sudden, you can't explain it away. Other people do it. That's not a good enough excuse anymore. Because you see yourself not only as a rotten sinner, but you see yourself as a rotten sinner standing before a holy God who never did anything wrong. That's conviction. That's when guilt stabs. That's when you get your heart pricked. Isaiah said it like this, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of lords. He said, woe is me, because he saw himself. But he said, woe is me, because he also saw a holy God. I want to tell you something. You may measure up to other people fine. You may always find somebody who does worse. I guarantee you can. But you'll never measure up before a holy God. You'll never measure up between the one who will let you into heaven or say depart. Guilt stabs. That's what conviction is. It's a God-produced shame. I'm guilty. I've done wrong. I am wrong. Jude 15 says, to convince all that are ungodly among them. Listen to this. To convince. You convince me. I'm a sinner. God, I agree. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. Convince. Listen to this verse. To convince all that are ungodly among them for all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. You reckon there's any question about what he's trying to say? He's saying we are ungodly. You may be a good moral person, but you're still ungodly. Compared to God, we're ungodly. Guilt comes when the conviction comes. It's amazing how so many people think they're okay. It's amazing how so many people think I'm all right. I'm not so bad. I believe I'll make it. I believe God will understand. I don't know how well I start saying, I don't know where that comes from. Yeah, dude, it comes from the devil and from Satan. Because it sure isn't so. Real conviction will blow all that up real quick. Listen to this. Hosea 12:8. And Ephraim, which is Israel, said, I am yet become rich. I have found out substance in all my labors. And they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. Israel said, everything's all right. I got everything I need. I work hard and take care of everything of my life. Go ahead and examine me. You'll find nothing wrong. But they were wrong. And when we think we're okay, when we think we're all right, when we think we do good enough, we're wrong. Conviction will convince you you're wrong. What's conviction? It's God showing, like never before, how much He loves you. When He makes you sorrowful, when He breaks your heart, when He makes you a nothing, He's trying to show you how much He loves you. Boy, you ought to thank the Lord for being convicted. Have you ever been convicted? The man in Luke said this, praying to God. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. He's relying on himself. He's relying on the fact that he didn't do like others. But the Bible says that he went away home, went back home unjustified because he was depending on himself. He had a lot of good things to mention. He could be complimented for all his good works, but God said, those good works are no good in my eyes. You can't do good enough to please the holy God, because all of our goodness is filthy rags. In fact, I said it a couple of weeks ago, the more we try to please God on our own, the more it grieves Him. Because we're saying, I'm good enough, God. I don't need what you got. We're depending on self, and that's the worst sin that we could commit. You want to know what the worst sin is, really, for a lost person? It's not getting drunk. It's not red light district. It's not drugs. Not lying. Not cheating. Not gambling. The worst sin, the worst sin, the worst sin. And the sin that every lost person is guilty of is this. Unbelief. Not believing on the Lord. That's why he said, my Father will draw you. John 3:18. He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The sin that sends people to hell is not getting drunk and staying drunk. The sin that sends people to hell is not the list that we can make. The sin that sends people to hell is not believing on the Lord. And he says, if you have not believed on him, you're already condemned. And he knows that. That's why he convicts people. That's why he speaks to people. That's why he makes people feel guilty. Jesus said, you can't come to me. Which, by the way, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's no way you can get to God. There's no way you can get to heaven but by Jesus. And Jesus said, you can't come to me unless the Father draws you. You can't come to me the way to life until my Father draws you, until he convicts you. Conviction is God speaking. Conviction is the guilt stabbing. It's not only when God speaks and when guilt stabs, but conviction is when grace saves. Every once in a while, I'll see my old buddies. In 41 years now, a lot of them still doing drugs. Those that have grown up a little bit and quit, still lost as they can be. When I talk to them, man, you just see the wall comes up. I want to ask you a question. Why did God speak to me and convict me and break me and then accept me when I begged Him to forgive me and He birthed me into His family and now I am still alive and preaching and so different than that person back there? I'll tell you why. He convicted me. He drew me. He showed me. And I said yes. I said yes. I said yes. All I did was say yes. I ran for a long time. I offered all the excuses that so many people do, trying to run from God, trying to hide from Him. But He cornered me March 2nd, 1975. And I just said yes. And that's when grace saves. Jesus said, I will raise them up at the last day. He said, I don't just convict them to make them miserable. I convict them to make them miserable by seeing what they are to where I can save them. Where they'll say, yes, I need to be forgiven. You're right, God. You've convinced me I'm a sinner heading to hell. Please, please forgive me. Save me. That's what grace does. It saves. Conviction makes us aware. I lived for a long time thinking I was all right. I'm telling you the things I did that were so wicked and so sinful. It didn't make anybody blush. And I thought it was all right. But when He started convicting me and I saw myself, He made me aware of myself. That's what conviction will do. Conviction makes us aware. Conviction makes us admit. You'll admit you're a sinner when He convicts you. You won't offer any excuses. Well, I just sort of got tricked into it. Yeah, I know I did wrong, but others do just as bad or worse. You won't come up with all that mess. Not with real conviction. Conviction makes us admit, God, you're right. You have convinced me. I am wrong. I am a sinner heading to hell and deserving it. Only conviction can do that. But conviction will. Paul said it like this, the godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. He said it'll make you so sad. It'll drive you to the bottom. It'll make you it'll drive you to the pit of despair. But then when you get saved, man, everything's all right. The sorrow's gone. Conviction makes me admit that I cannot help myself. I see myself as I am and I can't do anything about it. I need forgiveness that I cannot provide. I have sin on me I cannot undo. I've done wrong that I cannot erase. I'm heading to hell. I can't do a thing about it. Conviction makes us admit that. Conviction, I'm talking about when grace saves. He says, the Father will draw you, not just to make you feel bad, but to forgive you, to show you what you are, but to forgive you. And that kind of conviction not only makes us aware and makes us admit, but it makes us accept. It makes us accept the fact that if God doesn't save me, I'll go to hell. And He doesn't have mercy. What hope do I have? What other alternative do I have? I cannot be good enough to go to heaven. I cannot erase my sin that I've obviously committed. Father, I accept your way. God, I accept your plan. You're right, I'm a sinner. You're right, I've hurt you and hurt others. I've done wrong. I am a sinner. I'm not only done wrong, I am wrong. I accept your forgiveness. I come to you. I trust you. I am trusting you to forgive me. I accept your plan. I accept your forgiveness. You have drawn me. And now I accept what you're offering. I got a question. Has that happened to you? If it has, you didn't forget it. If it has, you remember the place, or at least the occasion. You may not know the date, a bit more than anything. But if that's happened to you, and He saved you, and He forgave you, and He birthed you into His family, you remember that time. But the bad thing about it is this. Number one, you may never have had that happen. You may have never heard the Holy Spirit speaking inside, just a still small voice, not lightning or thunder. Didn't just rock your world, but inside you heard a voice that said, you are a sinner. You need to be forgiven. You need to be saved. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God drawing. That's the Father drawing. I want to ask you, have you experienced that? Have you heard God speak to you? If you have, you ought to be very thankful. If you haven't, I beg you to get serious about where you're going when you leave this world. And right now, that's about all I can say to you. Because the Lord and the Father is going to have to draw you. But if you've ever heard Him speak, please don't take that lightly. Please do not shun Him. I want to tell you, when the public emergency announcement comes on the TV, and you've just been watching a commercial, I want to tell you something, that the news of that commercial compared to the news of that public announcement, there's no comparison. If they come on and they say there's a tornado in your neighborhood, get somewhere quick, you're going to listen. To ignore that would be unwise. But I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes to you as a sinner and says, I want to tell you I love you, but you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell if you don't let me forgive you, I want to tell you, to ignore that is just not wise. To shun that. Because Jesus said, you can't come to me unless the Father draw you. And this may be His last time of speaking. I promise you, I've gone to two funerals of people that ignored the Holy Spirit. Now, that's my opinion, but it's not my only opinion. Of people that God spoke to and they wouldn't listen. And it's too late now. At least two. I want to tell you something. When God speaks, it's time to listen. Here's what God said about Israel. Again, He called him Ephraim. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. They love idols more than me. Don't speak to them again. Leave them alone. I want to tell you something. The worst thing that could happen to you is God leave you alone. To say, I'll never speak again, I'll never speak again. I've spoken the last time. Here's what Hebrews says. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. And about five verses later, the same thing. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. I want to tell you something. When God says something that direct two times in those few verses, He means it. He says, when you hear me speaking, don't turn away. I promise you, well, the devil's fought this message. You don't have any idea. And I believe it's because there's more than one person here this morning that God wants to come up to you and say, I just want to let you know I love you, but you're a sinner. And my Son died for you, or you could come and ask me to forgive you. And I'm wanting to. I'm wanting to. I'm ready. I'm ready. That's why I'm speaking to you. That's why you feel uneasy. That's why you feel there's something missing. Because it's me. The Father is showing His love to you this morning by drawing you. Please don't harden your heart. Please don't say no. While He's speaking, come to Him. Let's stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no matter who you are, no matter what the need. If you want to come pray.